Let's turn, open your Bibles with me this morning. We are going to be going through the Torah portion, Yitro, which is, and you can see it on the screens there, the Torah portion is Exodus 18:1 to 20:23, and the Haftarah, which is the portion from the rabbis of the prophets that goes along with the Torah portion, is from the book of Isaiah, very prophetic book, 6:1 to 7:6. And 9:5-6. So again, the Torah portion is Exodus 18:1 to 20:23. And for those of you that are new or watching us on the live stream that haven't been tuning in, we're going through this year the Torah portions, and we're speaking about each of the portions as a foundational layer for our understanding of the rest of Scripture. We really need to understand the first five books before you can understand the other, 61 books. So we really need to get this in our spirits, get this in our kishkas, as they say, our guts, and really let this be foundational for us this year. Well, Yitro is a great Torah portion. I'm going to read in Hebrew and English the first verse from Exodus 18, and then we'll go right into the portion for today. Vayishma Yitro Choken Midian Choten Moshe. Et kol asher asa Elohim leMoshe uYisrael amo ki hotzi Adonai et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Moses' father-in-law Jethro, sheik of Midian, heard about all that God had done for Moses and his people Israel when he brought Israel out of Egypt. So today's portion is much like many of the Torah portions. There's a few chapters, and it seems sometimes that there's, if there's four chapters, there's maybe four topics. And sometimes it's hard to zone in and really take out the biggest nugget. And sometimes you can't because there's just too much good stuff. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes on chapter 18, and then we're going to move on to the most obvious thing today, which is the Ten Commandments. And we're going to talk about that. And I just love this. The fact that how God puts things together, because the same day that we're talking about the Ten Commandments, we're also blessing and naming and dedicating a little girl to follow the Torah and the commandments of the Lord. And it's just fitting because some of the scriptures we read about how Israel said, all that the Lord has asked we will do, that's in this Torah portion. So how awesome is that for the Manolises to have that so that they can tell their daughter in years to come, hey, when we dedicated you, it was the same week. When we read those verses, that was the Torah portion this week. How symbolic is that? But Exodus 18, last week we talked about the children of Israel in the last Torah portion, the children of Israel beginning their journey in the wilderness. So they started off after the miraculous deliverance from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And it was miraculous. 10 plagues, 10 devastating plagues brought upon the Egyptians. and it really, we don't think about it, but it devastated Egypt. It devastated the country. It says in some of the plagues that all the green trees were gone, all the produce, all the sustenance, everything about that country back then. Remember, everything was agricultural based. Everything was wiped out. It was like taking out the computer systems of the country, taking the grid out, and we're like in darkness, and because there was literally a plague of darkness. So God had delivered them miraculously from slavery in Egypt to freedom. They had seen how their God had brought about all these plagues. They had seen how their God had drowned the Egyptian army with all the chariots in the Red Sea. Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. They had seen how their God had provided water and bread and quail, so food and drink, miraculously in the middle of a desert. You know how when you're going through the desert and it's like a mirage, right? You see this water in the distance, and then you get closer and closer and there's no water there. It was a mirage. Well, water came from a rock. Manna came from the ground. It was supernatural. Supernatural. And so God was showing them his provisions for them. He's a supernatural God that we serve. They had seen all of this. And today we're going to see how the Lord is beginning to create this new society, this new country. by providing these instructions and these laws. But before we delve into that, we have to understand what happens in chapter 18 because it is significant. Because Moses, who is chosen to be the leader by God, Moses, who is coming out of first being in Pharaoh's palace, then becoming a shepherd for 40 years, then getting to lead the people out miraculously. Moses, as a leader, and this is a lesson for all of us, because you're all leaders in your life somewhere, whether it's in your family or at work. And this is an important lesson that God is sharing with us in Exodus 18, that Jethro gives to Moses. So Jethro is a priest in Midian. Midian is that place. Remember Midian. It's the place where Moses fled to 40 years prior. After he escaped from Pharaoh, who's going to kill him because he killed an Egyptian, he leaves and goes out into the desert. And he settles in Midian. And he becomes a shepherd for the next 40 years of his life. And he marries Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. And he has two children, Gershom and Eliezer. Okay, so he has a family in Midian with Jethro, with Jethro. Moses' wife and children had returned to Midian at some point before the Exodus. So they were not with him during the Exodus. And now Jethro is bringing them back to Moses, reuniting the family together. And then the text goes on to talk about how Jethro observed how Moses was judging all the people of Israel. As a leader, he was leading out these millions of Israelites, millions of Hebrews. It was actually more than that. It was a mixed multitude, Egyptians, Greeks, whoever had come and cleaved to the God of Israel. A lot of people. Can you imagine being a leader of a few million people? And how difficult that might be. Well, Moses was probably making it worse for himself because what would happen is that people would bring him the disputes. He would sit as a judge for all of Israel. They would bring him cases. And listen, we're talking about Jewish people here. You have two Jewish people, you have three opinions and five problems. Jewish people love to tell you how their back hurts, how everything's a problem with the in-laws. I mean, listen, you got a couple million of those people talking to Moses like that? I mean, that's a little bit much for anybody to take, even Moses. So the people would come with their disputes, and he would solve them. And Jethro rightly sees that this is too big of a burden for Moses alone. Too big of a burden for any leader. And he tells Moses, appoint overseers to help lighten the load. It's too much on you, Moses. This is a huge lesson because Moses is just a man. Moses was not supernatural. There's only one that's supernatural, and that's the God of Israel. Moses was just a man. But Moses was appointed. We're just men and women. But we are appointed to do things for the Lord. But we can start doing things for the Lord and then get really burnt out really fast because we're not structured to handle things the right way. Okay? So this is a big lesson for Moses. He was just a man, and he probably would have eventually, if not already, started to burn out with all of this. Because he got help, because he listened to the advice of his father-in-law, he assigned leaders to be judges over tens and thousands and hundreds and all those things, so that he could then delegate to those leaders and he wouldn't be burnt out. Because of this, Moses was able to be a more effective leader. Who knows if Moses continued to do this? Would he have had the stamina, the strength, the fortitude to go 40 years with the people in the wilderness? So this was the Lord using Jethro to speak into Moses' life. And Jethro is looked upon in Judaism very, very favorably. Even though he was not Jewish, he is considered a Ger Tzadik, which is a righteous Gentile. You know, we talk about the Gerim, the Gentiles. And he was a Ger Tzadik. And he is revered in Judaism for all that he has done, all that he did. He obviously provided the daughter for Moses. You know, it was his daughter, the wife for Moses. But how many times in our life do we take too much on and get burnt out? And then we get overwhelmed. But people come into your lives. People come into everyone's life. God brings people. God uses people to accomplish his purposes, okay, about anything. And we need to understand that there's people that come into our lives, and we need to listen to those people when they tell us, hey, you're doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. But what do we say? No, I'm fine. I got it, right? It's a pride thing. Or what do we say? No, I can handle it. You don't know what you're talking about. Or we don't listen. But you know, God puts people in our lives for reasons. And I'm not telling you, I'm not saying that you need to look for those righteous people that come to your life, because sometimes it's not going to be righteous people that come in your life and tell you things. Sometimes it's going to be people that annoy you. Sometimes it's going to be people that are not friends at all. But maybe God's using them in that situation. We have to be open and we have to be teachable to what God is speaking. Listen, God could use a donkey to speak. Remember when he did that in the book of Numbers? He can use the donkeys in your life to speak to you. But you have to listen. And of course, test the spirits. Is this of God? Is this of man? Yitro was speaking of God. And Moses identified it. And Moses was better for it because he listened. It's not that he was listening to Yitro. He was listening to the Lord. Listen when God puts people in your lives to help you. Discern if it's people that you should listen to. Okay, because there's counterfeit stuff out there too. But be open so that you can be an effective leader and you can go on to the next thing that God has. Moses needed to get ready. And it's interesting that this happens right before the Ten Commandments. Moses had to get ready for what was to come. There's something around the corner in each and every one of our lives. We have to be ready for it. But you're not going to be ready for it unless you listen and you obey the Lord today so you can be ready for tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another day in our lives. We need to be ready for whatever comes. And how do we get ready? I'm not talking about stockpiling, food. I'm not talking about doing this or doing that. I'm talking about getting your heart and your mind ready for the Lord. Today is the day to do that. Today is the day to listen when God is speaking so you're prepared for what he has for you tomorrow. Now, the remainder of the Torah portion brings the children of Israel front and center with God. Front and center with God. And this Torah portion is the foundation of Judaism today. I want you to understand how important these next couple of chapters are. This is foundational to not only Judaism, but Christianity and Messianic Judaism too. This is a foundational set of verses and chapters for us. Because this foundation, which was of Judaism, is really a foundation for all godly societies, if you think about it. It was the foundation for the ancient Israeli society. And even though Israel is very secular today, it's the foundation for modern Israel society today. It's the foundation for our American society today. We get the concept of Judeo-Christian values from this Torah portion. Talk about the whole Torah as being foundational. This portion is foundational for each and every one of our lives. God is saying something. We need to listen. We need to listen to what God is saying. Because God is a God of order. He's a God of purpose. And he's a God of instruction to us. We have to remember, the devil is the Lord of chaos, but our God is the Lord of order. He's providing order. Thank God that he gives us 10 commandments and the Torah. Where would we be without instruction? We'd be walking around aimlessly. We'd be walking around wondering, is this good? Is this good? You know, a lot of people live their lives outside of the framework of Torah, even believers. Outside of the framework of Torah, you set your own rules. Okay? Oh, I think I should do this. I think I should do that. But I want you to understand that foundationally, when you're with God and your foundation, you're getting into the foundation of what God is all about and the base of his ways, you're going around and saying, I wonder what God thinks I should do. I wonder what he wants me to do. Now, you don't have to have all the guesswork. We're going to talk about that today. It's easy. You got to follow what he's saying. Not trying to guess it all. It's so much harder to guess it all yourself. Thank God we have that order, that foundation for our society and for our lives today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. A lot of believers talk a lot about freedom. I have freedom in Messiah. I have freedom to do this. I have freedom to do that. Yes, there's freedom. But we have to remember, 1 Corinthians 14:40, but all things, not most things, all things should be done decently and in order. I'm not saying you got to go around like a robot. Oh, and make sure this is of the Lord. Oh, make sure I'm doing this right. Oh, make sure I'm doing. Listen, foundational is God's ways and God's word. Okay? All things should be done decently and in order. This scripture and this context of what this is saying here, what Paul is saying here, Rob Shovel, the Apostle Paul, is talking about spiritual gifts. Saying about how we shouldn't just be chaotic about our spiritual gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts. There's many gifts in Corinthians you can read about. But God doesn't give us a license to just go do whatever with those gifts. There's order. And what he's saying in the context of this passage is all things should be done in decency and in order. Okay? In our lives, in society, all of this can apply. How long would a society last without order? What have we seen? We've seen news reports. You know, when I was just reading about the Crimea region again, you know, that was annexed by Russia a few years ago, and you would watch the news a couple of years, and it was just chaos in the streets, you know, and you'd see, you know, back in the 90s in Northern Ireland, it was just chaos in the streets. There's chaos going on in all parts of the world today. It's the opposite of order. Society cannot function on chaos. I don't care what society is. We need order. We need chaos. Or we don't need chaos. We need order. I was just thinking. My brain's going too fast. I was in Ireland with my wife a few months ago. And I'll never forget this. We were passing by. And, you know, you always see police officers in different countries and things. And I believe the Irish police are called the Garza. And the Garza means keepers of the peace. It doesn't mean, you know, the military or the police. It means keepers of the peace. They're keepers of the order. Because without order, there's chaos. Without order in your life, there's chaos today. We need to have that order in our lives. Turn back with me to Exodus 19 as we begin in this portion. Exodus 19, 1 and 2. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. Now this is really, really important. You got to really be careful with Scripture because you're going to miss it if you don't pay attention. You know, how many times do we just read the Bible and we just go, oh, I've read that 100 times, you gloss over it. But it's very important. After 3 months of leaving Egypt, they are assembled, and they're assembled before the mountain. What mountain are we talking about? Mount Sinai. That was the place. But here's the thing. It was the same place where Moses was spoken to all those years before by the Lord. God brought him back to the same place to hear the words once again. He was originally given the charge there. Now, he and his brothers and sisters, all of Israel, that mixed multitude, are now going to receive instruction from the Lord, just as Moses received it 40 years before. He's going to give them instructions about how to live as free people in society. Exodus 19, 4-6. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So that's the context. This is God doesn't leave a lot of room for wondering what's going on here. He doesn't leave a lot of mystery in here. God was doing all this to form a people. It wasn't enough to just deliver them out of bondage. Now he's creating society, he's creating people here. A people that would be for him what? A kingdom of priests. This is always what God has wanted from Israel. We as Jewish people have, and you can read about it basically throughout the rest of the Bible, we as Jewish people have missed it. We've constantly missed it. Our people have constantly gone back and forth between following God and then wanting to do our own thing, between order and chaos, and order and chaos. It's like we never learn. But God's purpose is for the Jewish people and all people to be a kingdom of priests for him. This is what he wants. And today there are three things I want to talk about. And I want us to see. I'm not going to read the Ten Commandments. You've read them about a bazillion times. Go home and read them a bazillion and one times. What I want to talk to you about today is the character of our God who gives those Ten Commandments. The character of the God of Israel who is speaking to us today. Thou shalt not, very cut and dry, very basic, and they are, but they're revealing to us a character and a nature of our God that we cannot miss. People get fixated on the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. People get fixated on the 613 commandments. People get fixated on the works. Wrong focus. We need to be fixated on the character of the God that's giving the instructions to us. This is where we're going with this. He's trying to get his people to see a greater purpose. Point number one. With the Ten Commandments, we know where we stand before God. Number one, we know where we stand before our God. Exodus 14, 13 to 14. This is a powerful verse. We read it last week. We're going to read it again. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Remember, this is when they were going into the sea. The Egyptians were coming after them. They were really scared. And God was saying, "You don't need to worry. I got this taken care of. All you have to do is be silent because I'm going to fight for you." Okay? We know where we stand before our God. We know that he's not going to say, "Okay, you're up. You know, I want you to go fight today. You're gonna take care of things for me today. I'm a little tired. Or you're going to do this and that and the other." No, he's fighting our battles. We sang it today. We talked about it. We know where we stand before him. We saw in the Torah portion last week that we don't need to do anything except trust in him. It's really simple. And we really, really complicate it. We know where we stand before the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "The end of the matter." Now, this is after Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, goes through 11 and a half chapters talking about all this stuff that he's talking about, life, you know, philosophical stuff about life. And here's what he comes to. "At the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Okay? Fear him. And we talked about what fear means. It's not like shivering fear. It's faith fear. It's reverence. It's putting him first in your life. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," Proverbs says. Fear the Lord, keep his commandments, follow him. God makes it very clear. Number one, you don't have any other gods before me, and so on and so on and so on. We know what to do. We don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder what's going on or where God you stand before God. You don't have to wonder, how do I please my God today? Because he's going to be really angry if I don't do something right. You ever worried about that with people? "Oh, if I don't do something right, my boss is going to be really upset. If I don't do this right, if I mess this up, or if I mess that up." We don't serve a God like that. Okay? We know where we stand before our God. If you look at the Greeks were a people with many gods. I don't know how they kept up with all these gods. They had to worry about displeasing this God or displeasing this God. "Oh, wait a minute, I have to remember this God is for this, so I better please this God about this because I want the rain to come, or I want the crops to grow, or I want this to happen." They were living in complete fear. The Greeks, the Romans, name any other religion. It's all about, you know, don't upset the God or the gods. Don't upset the sleeping giant. Our God isn't like that. Our God is greater. You know, we sing that song. Our God is greater than any of these other gods. And one of the reasons he's greater is you know where you stand with your God. You know where you are with him. You don't have to worry whether you did enough. You don't have to worry that you only messed up 5 times today instead of 10 times. And if you hit that magical 6 times, he's going to be really upset with you. It's not a license to continue to sin, but what it is it's an assurance. It's an assurance that we serve a great God and we know where we stand with our God. He is greater. Point number two, we know that we are loved and cared for by our God. We know that our God loves us and cares for us. 1 John 4:8. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. I'll give you a hint. It's way in the back. It's towards the end. One of the last books. 1 John, not John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Okay. If you want to know what God is love. That doesn't mean God is just there to just love you all the time and say, you screwed up, you sinned. Okay, sin is great. He's not going to say that. He's going to sometimes tell you, you screwed up. You're going to feel the consequences of your sin. But God is categorized and defined in the Bible as love. And you know, I love this verse because anyone who does not love does not know God. If you know God, you're going to be like God. You're going to act according to what God is. God is love. You ever met a believer that's full of hate? A believer that's full of anger? A believer that's full of all this stuff inside of them? And it's just dirty and ugly. And, you know, look, we all are dirty and ugly. Don't get me wrong. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if you ever met someone that says they're a believer and they're just torn up inside and they're just, oh, so angry and they hate people and blah, 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 blah. That's not how to emulate God, because that's not how God is. If we're supposed to show the Lord to people, shouldn't we be showing the Lord to people? And if God is love, what should we be showing to people? Love. That doesn't mean, oh, so-and-so just gave me a black eye. Well, let me just go give him a hug. You know, you don't do that. I mean, we get that. That's common sense. You can love them from afar. Just don't get too close to them. But God does say to love, and there's forgiveness that's tied to that. There's a whole bunch of things that we could talk about there, but we don't have time. God is love, and let's emulate our God, and let's love other people, even when they don't deserve it, because God loved us when we didn't deserve it. He's categorized in the Bible as a shepherd gathering his sheep. He loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants the best for us. Now, I keep doing all these caveats. It doesn't mean he's going to give you that Lamborghini. It doesn't mean you're going to get the best house. It doesn't mean you're going to get the best life. Those are material things. Those are things of the world. Okay? He wants the best for you, but I don't mean the best car or house or family or job. What we mean is God wants the best for us. He wants you to be filled with peace. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his love. He wants you to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of God and speak it to other people. He wants the best for us, and he has the best in mind for us. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's turn there. Everybody, a lot of people know the scripture. I'm not saying everybody knows it, but a lot of people know the scripture. It's a powerful and a promise for us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You may not have a lot of hope for what's going on around you in the world, but I'm telling you, stop looking down, start looking up. There is a hope. It's eternal life. And in heaven with God, if you know Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, if you have accepted his sacrifice, if you are walking with Yeshua, you have a future and a hope. You may not get to that future and a hope until you die, but you're going to be there for eternity with God. You're going to be in a place where there's no sickness. You're going to be in a place where people don't die around you. You're going to be in a place where you don't have to worry about what that bump is or what's going on or what's happening at work or whatever. There is a future and a hope for us. But people get so caught up in, oh, it's got to be here. It's got to be now. It's got to be, God wants the best for me. And we get caught up in the material. We get caught up in the physical. It's not what this is about. There's a future and a hope for you. And it's heavenward. It's there. Yeshua is going to come back soon. He's going to come back one day. But if he tarries and you die and you know the Lord, you're going to be with him. You're going to be with him in eternity. And there's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more hurt. There's going to be no more mess ups. We're going to be with the Lord. That's a future. That's a hope that we can cling to. This verse, Jeremiah 29:11, was said at a very dark time. when the children of Israel were in a very dark place. Physically, they were in Babylon. They were stripped of their homeland, taken away from the temple, taken away from this land that we're talking about in the Torah portion. The land that God promised them through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs. It was like confirmed and confirmed and confirmed. You ever had that in your life? Something's been confirmed so many times, you just know it's what God has for you. Well, Israel was and is that land for the Jewish people. I don't care what happens with the Arabs. I don't care what happens with the UN. Israel is and always will be God's place for the Jewish people. That is a promise, and we know God doesn't go back on his promises. We've read through all the promises the last several Torah portions. But this verse is coming at a time when they were temporarily stripped out of the land because of sin. But even then, God is saying, I have plans for you, a future and a hope for you. That's the God we serve, who loves you and cares for you. Why did they leave Israel? They sinned. It wasn't that Babylon just came in and nudged them out. Babylon didn't have any power. God allowed it to happen. God used it to happen. This is all about God and his people throughout the Bible. It's not about Babylon. It's not about Assyria. It's not about anybody else. It's about God and his people. He's trying to get the message to them. They sinned. They had to be taken out of the land. But God remembers even then. Isn't it amazing how we screw up, we sin, we mess up, we've fallen outside of, you know, the perfect scenario of what we should have been in, but God is still saying to us, you have a future, you have a hope. It's never too late. Even in our darkest times, God loves us and he cares for us. Point three, we can count on God. We can count on God. I read it earlier today. I'm going to read it again. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Verse 22, you shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. We can count on that. You can count on that. You can count on a God that loves you and fights for you. We can count on our God. And one more scripture, Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is the charge that Joshua was given when he was called to lead after Moses died. Can you imagine? He's getting ready to go in to that land after 40 years. The new generation had popped up. They're all young. And you got Joshua, you got Caleb, and you got all this second generation going in. And you know, it would be easy to be fearful. It would be easy to be scared. It would be easy to be wondering what's on the other side. Okay? They didn't have like drones that could go through and say, oh my gosh, they're 8 feet tall. Okay, this city's good. Let's start with this city over here. Or, you know, this and that. They didn't have any of that stuff. There was no CNN. There was no whatever. They didn't know it was on the other side. But God is saying, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Stand firm, because just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And you know what? Just as he was with Joshua, he's with us. Okay, we can count on our God. We can count on him to fight the battles for us. But we got to get in with our Lord. Listen, we serve a great God. We follow after a God that doesn't change his mind about us, no matter what we do. We follow a God who doesn't say, well, you messed up just too much this time. Just too much. That's it. I've had it with you. Imagine if our God treated us the same way as we treat other people sometimes. Well, you messed up too much. It's beyond grace here. No, our God isn't like that. He gives the Ten Commandments to show us that we know where we stand before him. We are loved and cared for by him, and we can count on him. So today, remember where you stand before God. Remember you're loved and cared by God, and remember you can count on your God. No matter what's going on, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're doing, no matter if you're traveling or you're at home, no matter if you're in the fields or in the city, no matter what you're doing, we can rely on these promises. And as these foundational commandments are given, as this order is given in our life, We need to listen. Just as Moses listened to Yitro, just as the people of Israel were at the mountain listening to God, you and I today need to listen because he's speaking. He's not speaking from this high mountain today. You're not going to get tablets to tell you what to do today. I wish it was that easy. Here's your tablet for today. Today, brush your teeth. No, it's not going to work like that. You got to walk out there and you got to say, God, you've got promises here. You love me. You care for me. I can count on you. I know where I stand with you. I know I had that foundation. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live my life for your glory. That's where we need to be every single day. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We know where we stand before you. We know you're not going to change your mind on us. We don't have to worry. We know you love us. You care for us. You have a future and a hope for us. And Lord, we know where we stand. We know we can count on you for things, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your character, your nature doesn't change based on our circumstances or our level of obedience to you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you're a steady rock that we can fall upon. You're a steady rock that we can lean on. You're a steady rock that we can get that guidance from. And just as the water flowed from the rock, the living water is flowing from that rock today. And that rock and that water is Yeshua, the living water. You sent your son Yeshua to die so that we can be cleansed of our sins, so that we can wipe the slate clean. We'll continue to mess up, but we can continue to go back to you. And we know, Lord God, that you will never leave us and forsake us, that you have a future and a hope for us. And if we put our faith in you, Yeshua, if we speak that you're our Lord and our Savior, and if we ask you to take away our sins and forgive us of our sins in the name of Yeshua, we know we're going to be in a place one day in heaven with a future and a hope for all eternity. So if there's anyone here, or anyone listening or watching that has never accepted that promise, that gift, today's the day to do it. Just in your heart of hearts, just say, I'm a sinner. I messed up. I can't do this myself. I accept your sacrifice, Yeshua, who died for me and my sins. And I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge you as the one that's going to lead me, the one that I'm going to listen to, the one that I'm going to obey and follow. Lord, I thank you today. And for all of us who have accepted you, Lord, encourage us today. Build our faith. Help us to know it's not just about following things, commandments. It's about your character and your heart that you're showing through those things. And as we love you, as we don't have any gods before you, as we do this and honor our father and mother and all the things that are written there, help us to do it with the right heart. Help us do it with the right frame of mind, knowing, Lord God, that you love us, that you care for us, that we can count on you. That's a awesome thing. Whether we're having good days or bad days, we can remember that. So, Lord, I just pray for each and every person here. Speak, Lord God. Speak through the Yitros in our life. Speak through the voice from the mountain, Lord. Whatever you have to do to get through to us, speak to us today, Lord God, and show us these things. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen. And amen.